Happy New Year, 2016. If it was one of your life goals to make it to 2016, congratulations, you made it. I know some didn't think you'd even be around at this time, but we're here. Last year was a great year. We're looking forward to another good year. Hope you had a good holidays. Next Sunday, of course, is our big day, 35th anniversary, so I want to remind you, we have cards at the Welcome Center, cards that you can hand to someone and invite them to come to our big celebration. So this is appropriate for anyone to come, but in particular, I ask that you be thinking about members or former members who could come next Sunday. Maybe they live locally. Maybe they live close enough that they could drive. Those are the ones that we want to spread the word to. In particular, if they live locally and they don't have a church home, we definitely want to extend them a personal invitation. So there may be someone that you know best from our congregation of the past and you could reach out to. So do that this week. Also, we have at the Welcome Center a paper that you can take that has the church history of our congregation, really our two congregations coming and merging in 1981. So that's at the Welcome Center. You may want to pick a copy of that up as you leave. This past year, one of the best things about 2015, sound man, I'm going to have you flip my slides, if you will. One of the best things about 2015 for me was simply growth in my understanding of the Word, the Bible, and my love for the Bible. I know part of what we encouraged you to do this year is just to be in the Bible more. Our classes focused on the Bible more, the Word of God, some of the sermons did. We encouraged you to read through the Bible this past year, 2015. I know some of you did that, read through the Bible. I know some of you, there were some that read and finished early. One made the statement that it has changed. The statement was, it has changed my life, reading through the Bible. And I know some you read, but you didn't finish, but that's okay. You read more of the Bible this year than maybe any year previous. So I encourage you, continue reading, continue valuing and spending time in the Word of God. Sydney and Abby read through the New Testament. To have your child, to have one of your children read through the New Testament is a big thing for me. It's exciting as a parent to be able to bring your child along in learning to love this book. And so encourage your children this year. Reward them. Give them a reward for reading through. You can read through the New Testament in a year by reading one chapter a day. One chapter. It'll take you a few minutes, less than 5 minutes, to read a chapter of God's Word. And so I encourage you to do that this year. I plan to read through this year chronologically. And so you may not know, but the books of the Bible are not ordered by the time that they took place in history. And so you can do that, but I encourage you to continue to love God's Word and do that this next year. There are a number of things in the bulletin, on the inside of the bulletin, that highlight ways that God blessed us this year. Baptisms, new members, things that we were able to do as a congregation this year. And so those are exciting, what happened in 2015. And one of those is that we averaged on Sunday mornings, in Sunday morning worship, we averaged 264 last year. That's a big thing. That's a good thing. In 2010, we averaged 145. And so we've experienced some growth during this time. That's an 82% growth in 6 years. God has blessed us as a congregation. And when we look back, we feel a lot of joy in how God's blessed us. Now we're looking forward, 2016. So this year we want to focus on unity. We know that this year that we as a congregation, we come from different places, right? We are the Sand Springs Church of Christ, but we don't all live in Sand Springs. We're a diverse congregation. We live in different places. We come from different backgrounds. We have different perspectives on things, but we're one body. We are one body, one congregation. So this year we're going to focus on unity. If a church of God's people is doing well, if God is blessing a group of His people, what will Satan be doing? I know I can see things God did with us last year. I can see and pray and hope what God will do for us in 2016. What is the devil doing? What does the devil do in a church that God is blessing? Anytime God's people are doing well, Satan will be working overtime to create dissension, discord, and disunity. Satan will do it every time. And he's going to do it. He is doing it. He's always working. The more we grow, and here's the irony, the more we grow, the more opportunity Satan has to create disunity among us. There'll just be more things for us to fuss about, more things for us to argue about, more things for us to be crossways with each other about. So if you turn in your Bibles, next slide is Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 4:25. I want us to look at a passage here, a few verses in this passage that deals with unity. And verse 25 of Ephesians 4 says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We are members one of another. And so the context here is the church. It's a congregation. And Paul reminds us that we belong to each other. The New Century Version reads, "Because we all belong to each other in the same body." In other words, we are a team. This is a team. I realize no Crimson fans, Orange Power fans are celebrating today, but the team doesn't always win, folks. We are a team. We're a team of the most importance because we are about God's business. Next slide, verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." It's okay to get angry. But the Bible teaches us it's okay to be angry. But what do I do when I'm angry? And the next slide, James 1:20, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Very, very, very rarely will you be angry and because of that anger do something that pleases God. Very rarely will I get angry and because of my anger do something that pleases God. They just tend to not go together. So when we get angry, we have to manage that. Satan will take our anger and try to get us to do things we shouldn't do and say things we shouldn't say. Any amens there? Satan will try to take our anger and get us to do something we don't want to do, say something we don't want to say. And secondly, Satan will try to get you to stay angry. You know, here's that part of Scripture that says, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger." Now, many of us have understood that in the context of a marriage. You know, we thought about that in a marriage that, you know, you're arguing with your spouse and they're done, they're ready to go to sleep, but you know they're still angry. So you tell, "Hey, the Bible says you can't go to sleep if you're angry. Come on, let's talk this out." And we think of it in that, oh, that's not really the context here. Husband and wife and having an argument. The context is, don't stay angry. Why not? Because anger and righteousness they're not good friends. Okay? So the longer I'm angry, the more Satan has opportunity. Satan wants me to stay angry. Next slide, verse 29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Satan wants us to talk bad about one another. True? Satan wants us to talk bad about each other here in this body. God wants us to build each other up. Satan wants us to tear each other down. And the wording here says, "Only such is good for building up." The New Century says, "Words that will help others become stronger." What if We were a congregation that the only words that we spoke about one another were words that built up. Grandma used to say, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything. In 2016, let us be a church of unifiers. Let us be a church of unifiers. Let us put team, let us put God's church above our own will. A couple years ago, I had a fence in my backyard that was falling down, privacy fence, so tore it out and built a new one. As I'm building the new one, there's a section there where there's concrete underneath dirt, underneath gravel. So as I'm digging down to set my posts, I'm getting into concrete, in which I have a decision to make. There's one place, one post, I have a decision to make. Either I go get help and go to greater means to bust this concrete out, or I figure out a way to build this fence without a post here. Okay? You want to guess which one I chose? So I have a stretch here where I don't have a post, but I have a fence next to it. Another privacy fence. And so I have this Elliott rigged in such a way that it's sturdy enough, right, to serve the purpose. The neighbors know no different, right? And the fence that it's connected to kind of covers it from me, so I don't really see it, but I know it. Why would I not just build it and either skip a section or build it and let this one section sag and blame it on the fence? Because after all, it's not my problem, it's the ground's problem, right? And the ground and the fence, that's their deal. That's not me. True? I mean, I could have built it shoddy and let it look shoddy and said, that's the fence's fault. Instead, I want it to look good. I know I'm propping it up, right? I know it's not ideal, but I want it to look good because it represents my property. That's how we need to be as a church. I have blemishes. You have blemishes. We have weaknesses. Any perfect people here? So instead of us tearing each other down and instead of me throwing stones at you, your blemishes, or you throwing at mine, or us throwing at each other, why do we not do this? So this is the point here. Paul says, only such as is good for building up. Now we might say to Paul, Paul, I got some stones to throw. I mean, I'd like to say only good things, but I don't know any people that are only good. So if there's some badness, I'm going to say some things. And Paul says, don't say those. What do you mean, don't say those? Don't say them. Cover it. I'm not saying ignore everything. There's a time and a place to go to your brother privately and talk with him, or your sister. There's a contrast between protecting someone and throwing someone under the bus. We know those two phrases, right? We want to be a church of protectors. Next slide, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. A lot of words here. They're all in the same family, right? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, which clamor means using harsh words, okay? Is clamoring. So bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice. Kind of redundant. Have you ever had somebody get mad and you said, I don't understand, why are you mad? And they say, I'm not mad. Well, you sound mad. Maybe someone was talking, or maybe you were talking and you stopped, or someone, and you said, we probably shouldn't be gossiping about this. And they said, I'm not gossiping. Maybe God, through Paul, knows that if you just tell us not to be angry, we will say, I'm not angry. I'm not angry, I'm just upset. Or if he says, don't treat each other or don't be upset. Well, I'm not upset, I'm just frustrated. And so you have a passage here which, and notice twice he says all. He starts out all bitterness and ends with all malice. Pretty well covers it all, right? Not saying we can't get angry. But here is a passage on being unifiers and having unity. And the truth is, Satan wants us to get bitter towards one another. Satan wants us to have wrath towards one another. Satan wants us to be angry, to clamor, to slander one another, to have malice. And in the end, these are all negative feelings towards someone. True? These are all having negative feelings towards someone else. And so he follows this with the next slide, verse 32, which says, be kind to one another. So here's the contrast. Don't do those, do these. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I wonder if, you know, this was a letter Paul wrote. So to the reader and to the first listeners, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving. And maybe that's where somebody might want to throw a flag. You know, forgiving. And then immediately Paul says, remember God forgave you. Can you have unity without forgiveness? We are going to do things that bother each other, true? Can you have unity without forgiveness? And so that needs to be part of what we focus on this year, is forgiving one another. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 3. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy. So this is our theme scripture for the year. It says, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider, count others more significant than yourselves. So we're different. And God says, I want you to be the same. And we say, but God, we're not the same, we're different. But isn't that what a team is? So we have to stop and remember God made us different, didn't He? In the beginning, He made them what? Male and different. Female. Right? You could say female and different. Male. We're very different. Very different. Old and young are very different. True? We have generational differences. We have generations, as an example, an old generation has qualities about them that was true when those old folks were young. Not true about our young folks now. It's a generational thing, and it goes with them. It's not their age, it's their bracket. And it's true. We have a lot of differences, but God says, I want you to be the same. It's the same with an NBA franchise. When an NBA franchise chooses players, they don't choose 12 7-footers to make an NBA squad. God has made us different, but He says, I want you to be unified. We're like a team with jerseys in which on the front is Christian and on the back is your name. And we'll have times where we wrestle individually. What do I care more about? Do I care about the name on the front or do I care about the name on the back? And God says, I want you to be a team that puts church first, put God first, care about God's business the most. So this year, let this year be a year that we focus on having each other's back, that we focus on building each other up. We will be growing, we will be praying. We will be reaching the lost. We will press on and we'll pull together. It's going to be a good year. And we know that God will be leading us. We'll put God at the forefront. So we're going to sing a song about letting God have His way, because we are about God's business. And so be praying for your elders, for your leadership. And we want to pray for one another. And we want to pull together. And we want to continue to be a church that God will bless us in many ways. So if you're here this morning and you have a need, we want to extend an invitation. During this song, if there might be someone that you need us to pray with you about something, there might be one here this morning and you're ready to have your sins washed away and become a child of God. And so if there's a need that you have, please come while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you have His favor and carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His fire can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart.
What you want to